fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, say.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Hi ho, Jesse Blaze Snyder here, the coolest geek alive. How you doing? I'm doing good. Care Bear stare out to all you geeks in the audience who've been listening and helping this show to grow. We are doing well, and I'm just grateful. Grateful to be able to show up every day and talk about the shit I love and have an audience to, interact with and stuff. Speaking of which, you can email me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com if you have anything to note. I love you all. I really do. Thank you. So I wasn't exactly sure what I was doing today's episode on because, like, really, I lost count of all the crazy shit that was going on, and I've been sort of losing count. I was gonna do like the sky is falling kind of thing, but I don't like to be like an alarmist, like whatever. And I'm not, and I'm happy about it because I'm a creative person who knows that the system is broken. So I'm happy to see this sky fall and everything fucking fall apart for all these people so that I am proved correct. I'm sorry that if that sounds like arrogant or I don't know what it might sound like or whatever, but you know, when you know the way, and you're working in the industry and you're watching the wrong decisions be made, and you know that you could help, like, these people are your friends, these editors and whatnot. Like, I can help you get promoted, man. Like, help the world discover what I can do. Help the world discover what a Will Pfeiffer could do, what a Mark Andreyko could do. There are so many wonderful creative people who are not given enough support. And I mean, the system is not built to support the creative people in any way, shape, or form, especially like in comics and in film. I mean, it's just all us coming to them and them dictating the terms to their underlings, and the underlings who we deal with, who are lovely people, they don't really have any power and they're worried about their jobs and stuff. And it's always just like a bit of a difficult situation. As a creative person. And I mean, balls get dropped all the time. My brother Cody Blue Snyder, you can look up the two short films that he's made. He is brilliant. And everybody should know his name. But because of the Hollywood system, oh my God, the things that he's had to deal with. He has made what has been called, and I agree, the greatest short film ever made. And it's a comedy. It's called Fool's Day. You can look it up. It's wonderful. It's really just, I'll just leave it at that. It's wonderful. And because of the same system, you know, me and Cody were just commiserating the other day, and he was just talking about all the shit that he deals with in the film industry. And I'm just, you know, it's the exact same thing in the comics industry. It's the exact same thing in voiceovers. It's the exact same thing in every single bit of this superficial entertainment industry. And because of all of the kind of terrible nonsense that goes on, the business just isn't done right and is often failing despite itself. I mean, there's no reason why any of these properties should be failing as big as they are. But I mean, here today, I have just more examples of why they are failing and why Hollywood is just ultimately so corrupt. It's just the continued conversation of like this thing that we learned about the Westerns and how all these like nihilist writers making all of these heroic cowboys into secret monsters killed the genre and made people not like Westerns anymore. And let's talk about it. So the director of the Marvels has been going... the actors are on strike. So other people are left to do the press for the film. And the director has stepped up to do the promotion. And to say that the things that have been coming out of her press tour have been less than spectacular is a great understatement. I mean, initially, and I have some of this stuff here, but I couldn't find a lot of the quotes about some of this earlier stuff. All the more recent articles were like popping up ahead of it, and I got tired of looking for it. And I'm like, I get the basic gist of it. But the basic gist of it was she had a schedule, and she was scheduled to do another job. And because of that job, she had to leave the production at a certain point and move on to other creative things. And she ends up saying basically that, and then additionally saying, kind of, well, chastising Marvel in the press, going, well, they were way over schedule, and I told them I had to go. And traditionally, this is not exactly the way you handle the press here. You know, you try to cover your employer's butt to some degree, not make the production look bad, not make all of your friends look bad. She kind of really made the production look bad. Granted, she's pointing to so many of the things that we know. She also spoke about how Kevin Feige, it was like a Kevin Feige production. I mean, I have some of these quotes down here. But, you know, the thing that drove me fucking bananas is what she just said just, I guess, this past week or whatever. And I've got a bunch of the quotes here, and I will read them to you directly, and then we can talk about them a little bit. But she said, "Something I like to say a bit flippantly about Captain America is that the snap is all his fault because he was trying to do his best, trying to do the right thing. There is a world in which he's a villain because at the end of the day, he should have just sacrificed Vision. He chose one robot's life, albeit a sentient one, over literally the entire universe. There's a sort of anti-hero in that, if you want to look at it through that lens. No, there's not. People would say I'm crazy for thinking that way, but there's something connected to the journey of the anti-hero and the hero. The hero's pain is something that spurs them to martyr themselves. And an anti-hero's pain is a thing that kind of starts their journey as opposed to ending it." Okay, hold up a fucking second. Just this spurns their journey to martyr themselves. Okay, like, the hero's pain is something that spurs them to martyr themselves. She thinks that heroes are spurred to martyr themselves. She thinks that Batman's goal and Superman's goal and the goal of the Fellowship and the goal of the Terminator is to die on a sword for other people. This is that sort of like corrosive yuck that killed the Western. And she's making some wacky superhero movie, this person with this notion in their head. Like, clearly, this is not her sort of subject material, even though she claims it claims to be. It's just, okay, I'm just going to continue to read just through this whole bit, because it all really makes me very upset about who is ushering in this shit and how these morally corrupt people who can't see the light of possibility of how things can be good and positive bring this nihilist viewpoint into things that are not meant to represent that. Continuing the quote. "So here's the thing. The reason why it's his fault, Captain America, is the reason why he's such an amazing hero. Because he's like, we're not going to sacrifice anyone. There always has to be another way." He was incorrect. Okay, stop. I'm stopping the quote right there. He was not fucking incorrect. And we're going to talk about that at great length. There always has to be another way. Yes, there does. You just haven't thought of it yet, you ignorant person. Continuing quote. "But then also, he was right in the end, because everything was fine." Yeah, so you're a fucking idiot. And like seriously, like, are you a fucking idiot? These are the people you're hiring, Marvel, to do your thing? She should be making something that she loves, not insulting something that we love. Allowing stupidity like this into the conversation is the problem. I mean, really, this is a problem for me. You know, I don't care what anybody likes to do in their bedroom, in their spare time. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how you look. I don't care what you want to do to make yourself happy and live your dream. But this souring and darkening of creative ideas that are light and bright and hopeful and optimistic with fucking sour grapes attitudes like this bullshit right here is just it's an affront to everything I hold dear. I mean, really, like, oh, I wanna cry about it. I've just like tingled my passion about it, and I'm like welling up. She goes on to say, after saying Captain America was incorrect for not wanting to trade lives, but then also he was right in the end because everything was fine. We did lose some people that we care about, but it is his fault because he should have just ripped that thing out of his homie's head from the beginning. I'll just repeat that. Because he should have just ripped that thing out of his homie's head from the beginning. He should have just ripped that thing out of his homie's head from the beginning. Who are you to judge? And in favor of saving everyone versus in favor of save all of our asses and not let's attempt to find a better way, which they do, and which other better ways could be thought of, and just what a heartless and freaking short-sighted and silly, stupid, ignorant, I don't know how many different ways to say how much I detest the idea that is being offered here. These are just terrible ideas to enter in to this conversation. And it's just so clear to me that this person doesn't, this isn't the type of thing that they gravitate towards. You know, there's a really wonderful comic, but it's a so freaking sour grapes comic. It's great though, but it's very negative. And I had to stop reading it at a certain point because I was just like, it's just too negative. But she would love it. It's called Transmetropolitan. And like, bring her in to direct Transmetropolitan. You know, there's this terrible thing that happens in the entertainment world that I realized first with the Muppets. And it's the thing of, hey, we have a position open with the Muppets. Is anybody interested in the Muppets? Who knows and likes the Muppets? And everybody at the table raises their hand because everybody wants that promotion. Oh, yeah. And then what happens? The people who are telling me what to do, the creative person, the writer that they bring in to write Muppet stuff, is being given notes by people who don't actually know anything about the Muppets. Because this is what happened to me when I worked at Boom Studios, right? So they have the Disney license, at the Boom Kids license, and then they have a property that they own, and then they have people who are running the property that they own. As it turned out, the people who they had running the property that they own, it was one of the worst choices. You know, for me, I don't want to name this person because I want to shame them, but I'll just say they were responsible for writing one of the worst things ever with the Muppet name on it that they've ever produced. And this person basically approaches the Muppets like they're the Sesame Street characters, and they are a licensing, like a nightmare dealing with them in licensing, and because you have to get their notes. And then there's a person who is hired by Disney. And at the time I couldn't figure out how this person had been hired for this job. They clearly did not understand and did not like the Muppets. They forced me to put a joke in every panel to add more bad puns. I had like a beautiful beginning to my Muppet Snow White that I wrote for Boom Kids. And it was just like a really pretty introduction for the Snow White tale, featuring a stained glass window of a queen pig. And I thought it was just an understated, humorous thing that you wouldn't normally see. And this really pretty introduction. And they made me break it up into multiple panels and add Whoopi Cushions and rubber chickens into the backgrounds of the panel, or at least that was the note. I don't know if that ended up being what happened in the book. I haven't looked at it in a long time. But oh my goodness. I had written this book because I knew that parents were going to be reading it to their kids. Parents liked the Muppets because the Muppets were a more adult version of the Sesame Street characters, which were very fun and irreverent. And this Muppet Fairy Tales book would be read to children, and that if it was too clunky, the children would be reaching over and trying to turn the pages and all this stuff. And I understood. I wrote comic books. I had children. Many, many different reasons why I understood what was the right way to approach this thing. And they didn't know any of those things about comics. They didn't know any of those things about what ultimately the reader was going to be like or anything else, because they weren't the reader, and they were giving notes that ruined my book ultimately. I mean, like, the book that you could have gotten, it's so much better. If you read the book, you'll probably like it because there's really a lot of great stuff in it. But generally speaking, you're going to be like, well, there's a lot of bad jokes. There was like some bad jokes, but like, it wasn't a book of bad jokes. And I went out of my way to make sure it wasn't a book of bad jokes. And it was really circumstantially funny and like really good. It was an upgrade, really like a fucking elegant version of the things that they were doing at the time, and much more well thought out and conceived, because I just sort of based it on the Brothers Grimm fairy tales. It was a really good thing. And then they literally brought in another writer to add jokes because I said I couldn't do it. They asked me if I could add a joke, and I told Aaron, I said, I can't do it. I can't add a joke to every panel. I wish I hadn't given up on the whole thing, because like, now that I think about it, I'm like, you know, I should have just been like, okay, and like just fought to keep it as close to its how it started as as it began, you know, maybe try to like squeeze some jokes out of myself. I was just so disappointed. But these are the types of notes that you get from people who get hired because they raise their hand in the meeting. I want this job. And I'm sure this director was told, hey, you know, like she probably said, I don't really like that stuff. Like, that's not my thing. And you're going to see, I don't really like that stuff. Here's my thing. And like, there's all this stuff that claims to be true, and I have some notes in the bottom because I'm fucking aggravated about this. But this idea that espoused here, this shows who this person is, what they dig. They should be watching some friggin' Transmetropolitan. There's nothing wrong with this person other than the fact that she's fucking her inability to see a more optimistic world and have that appeal to her in any way is preventing her from seeing that as like a thing that like makes any sense. And she's being brought into a world that is supposed to be the light, you know, the people working to make the world a better place. At least that's the way I see it. I feel like when Hollywood gets a hold of this stuff, it just becomes this other thing of like, oh yeah, why is he doing that? Why is Superman doing that? He's probably doing that. He's cheating on Lois, isn't he? But it's like, your stupid thing. No, like in the world of comic books, this is like purity. It's nice and pure. You know, in the real world, a man or anybody, you know, may be constantly tempted in various ways. But in the world of a comic book character, they can hold an energy of, you know, sort of perfect stoicism in whatever direction they're aligned. And that perfect stoicism of like, I am the Punisher, criminals killed my family, and I will murder them until the world is permanently a better place. Like, wow, that's the line in the sand. Or Superman, that like, I have, you know, a responsibility because I can, to do something to, you know, to help this race and this, you know, my adopted race, and to remind them of the ideals that were instilled in me by my father that are based on, you know, all these American ideals, all this stuff, you know, or with great power comes responsibility. You know, these are the things that drive these characters. And they're very important and altruistic and ultimate. And this sort of Captain America was wrong. And he's an anti-hero because he wanted to find a better way than murdering Vision. And I don't know if you know this, but murdering Vision didn't actually solve anything. Like, so she's talking about, like, she's making an argument. She's going out of her way to make this, like, despicable argument. It's just a despicable fucking argument. Ugh. Yo, like, stay away from my good shit. Don't make any Care Bears movies. I'm not naming this person because I don't want to fucking slander them. I'm so aggravated. It's not about them. Like, I don't give two fucks about them. It's about the shit that they're saying. I don't like this. You know, like the fact that this sort of person with this sort of attitude is being brought in to work on the Marvels, which is supposed to be this weird, irreverent thing or whatever. Like, and I mean, it's clearly she doesn't want to do this. Okay. Let me read some more quotes. He should have ripped the thing out of his homie's head from the beginning. Okay. But then again, that's what makes him such a good character. And I think some of the amazing success of that first part of the MCU was those characters were so true to themselves. You think? And they made sense. All of the decisions that they made, even if you didn't agree with them, like you clearly didn't agree with the fucking moral compass of the Marvel Universe, they made perfect sense to who they were. So even though I blame him, I understand him. Okay. All right. So yeah, there's always a better way. You just haven't thought of it yet, you freaking asshole. And your mentality leads to less progress and less innovation. Okay, this is why Hollywood is devoid of good or new ideas. They think progress is about sacrificing some of what we have in the name of what they personally would like to see. You know, we don't want anyone who subscribes to any ideology to be in charge of deciding what sacrifices are acceptable for the whole. You know, this is why Captain America is the leader of the Avengers and not the director of the Marvels. And I mean, like, that's the thing, like, I would say, it was like, okay, cool. That's why you don't lead the Avengers and he does. That's why I love comic books and I love fiction, because characters like this exist that stand in defiance of people like you. Like, seriously. And more quotes to just demonstrate the person who they have decided to bring in to the fold here for Marvel. Let's see. I probably want to talk about, like, Superman a little bit more in a second, but I'm just going to continue with some of these things here. You know, I really don't care for this director much. You know, she spoke early doing, you know, press for the film a few weeks ago, basically airing a lot of the dirty laundry that I'm sure Marvel would rather not have out there, which I think just says a lot about her in, like, her being very not tactful. And I get that Marvel's probably not being super professional or whatever else, but they did give you an opportunity. They did give you all this stuff. And, like, generally, she went out and just, like, slandered the production and stuff. Like, I don't know. It just seems a little ungrateful to me. I don't know if that's how I would approach things myself. Here she is saying some things. Let's see. She says, "It's a Kevin Feige production. It's his movie. So I think you live in that reality, but I tried to go in with the knowledge that some of you is going to take a back seat." Quote, "It was really great to play in this world and be a part of building this big world," she says, "but it made me just want to build my own world more." When I was reading the outline that they sent me initially before I was pitching, I was like, "This is insane," DaCosta says. "It felt so comic booky. I was like, wow, they're really going for it." Fuck you, lady. Seriously, fuck you. I hate that Marvel has put me in a position to hate somebody so much in this moment. I mean, I'll get over it. Like, I'll forgive you. Maybe I'll even forgive you by the end of this episode. But like, oh, there is just so many things about the things that you say when you run your mouth that I just, that make me just wish. You know, what do I wish? I wish that you were a man. I could challenge you for your honor on the battlefield. That's the honest thing I'm wishing. Because every time I'm like yelling at a lady, I just feel like, I'm a dude and I'm yelling at a lady and I don't like it. So I wish she was a man. Then it would be easier. It would be so much easier. I just want the gloves to be off. But it's a lady. Respect to the lady. That so much emphasis was put on this fucking thing that like it's a lady. And the lady was nice enough to admit that she was not the first lady, but maybe the third or the fourth to ever direct a Marvel film, you know, and not the third or the fourth of, you know, a minority or of some kind or whatever. And I just hate that too. I want to hear how much they love the characters. I want to hear how they grew up with this stuff. I want to hear how this matters to them like it matters to me. I want to hear how they really felt excited about the screenplay. I want to hear about how they really felt excited about the cast. I want to hear about how they got excited to introduce a certain something into the Marvel Universe in some way. That's what I want to fucking hear about. The first this and the first that, it doesn't mean anything to me unless they're amazing. You know, if it's Eminem, then awesome. Okay? If it's Amelia Earhart, then fucking awesome. If it's Marjorie Liu, who I fucking love, she's a comic book writer, then awesome. You know, if you give me something great, then awesome. I'm down. I'm down for greatness whenever. But if you're asking me to look over here and focus on this while you give me something that's not great, and I don't even know what this thing's about to be, maybe it will be great. But I know that my children aren't excited about it at all, and I was really careful not to influence them in any way about it. I remember I hadn't seen them because I was working in California, and I came back, and I was home for the summer. And, well, now I'm back in New York most of the time. I just kind of like, well, I saw a trailer and I realized I was sitting next to my daughter, my teen daughter and my son. And I went, hey, what do you think of the movie? You're excited? And I did actually a better job, I think, that day of like sort of hiding any sort of feelings myself and asking the question. And my daughter was literally just like, oh my God. Ew. Like her reaction was so negative, so fast. She'd clearly seen the trailer and she was just like, what the hell is this bullshit? And I think there were so many things that like, she didn't like about it. I think that like, she didn't like that, like, Carol Danvers got sidelined in her own movie and thought it looked silly and stupid. And she was like, oh, there's a badass, you know, there's a badass female character. Like, and now she's in like a little goofy tag team. My teen daughter was like, this is lame as fuck. And then down the line, my son was on the edge of the counter, and he's younger, and he was like, yeah, it doesn't look very good. And in general, all of them have been like, eh. But I think my brother-in-law is going to take them to see it. He said, I'm taking them to see it no matter what. So let's see what happens if the Mr. Danny Story takes them to see the Marvels, and I'll tell you what sort of reviews I get. But I just don't care. And I've been of the, I mean, I'm so glad that I'm not seeing it now, like after like this thing. And I still have more stupid quotes from this fucking person. Like, it's really just like, oh, it's the most wow, they're really going for it. Okay. Let me see. And did I accidentally say this person's name earlier without realizing it? I was trying not to name them. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. It's just embarrassing. Whatever. It's in all these other articles. Obviously, you can find out. But it was said, just like to can finish these notes that I have here, and then I'll get into my diatribe concerning Superman and speed running and stuff. The director is a self-confessed nerd who wrote fan fiction as a child and who talks of swapping Black Bolt comics with Eamon Villani and bristling at MCU changes to the comic book's incursion lore. She says the MCU's approach to explaining incursions was always very stressful to me. Dude. Like, I don't even know what the fuck she's talking about. Incursion lore from the comic books? Like, that's not a thing that's particularly famous or popular or anything. I don't think anybody particularly cares about incursion lore. I don't. That's sort of a weird thing to be focusing on. I think there was maybe a cool Black Bolt miniseries that had come out at some point that would be worth exchanging hands. I feel like I read some issues of something there. I mean, this is just, though, like, what does that mean? Fan fiction for what? I don't know. Whatever. Like, I'm just being a hater at this point. I'm mad. Okay. I'm just mad. I'm being a hater. I'm a mad hater who hates things. And I hate this director. This movie is set to lose so much money, I wrote. It's only projected to make $55 million at the high end, which is as low as the lowest Marvel Studios offering before you take into account inflation. And then it really gets bad. I mean, I think I might be $3 million off. I think maybe the lowest one was $52 million or something like that. I'm not sure. It was around $55 million. I think there's a good chance it might make less than that. But I don't know. I just had some people say some things to me about, oh, isn't like the Iron Man or Thanos is supposed to be in it or something like that? Because the new trailers have Iron Man and Thanos in them, and he was literally tricked into thinking that those characters might appear in the movie. So I don't know. Maybe they trick some people. That'll be funny. I mean, I kind of suspect that it's going to even like be like, it's going to surprise people and be even lower. And not only that, but they like created the perfect bump to the South Park meme, you know, that's been going around, make it, put a chick in it and make her gay and make it lame. Well, guess who's making an appearance in the Marvels now? Valkyrie, the character who is gay Valkyrie. It's and race swap Valkyrie. That's just such a weird one too. It's just like the Valkyries are like kind of like famously, at least the way they're depicted in the Marvel comics and stuff, and at least how they're depicted initially with like the main character, this is a blonde lady. Like, I understand, like, eventually introducing some diversity, or I don't know.
I don't know, man. You know, when it's a character like Valkyrie, who literally nobody really cares too much about her other than that she looks great in images next to some of their favorite characters. When you change a character like that, it just becomes some lady. And Tessa Thompson really is kind of just some lady. You know, I love Thor Ragnarok. I hate Love and Thunder. I like Tessa Thompson in certain things. But I don't really like, she's not Valkyrie. I don't see her and go, "Hey, it's Valkyrie." I see her and I go, "Oh, it's Tessa Thompson from Thor Ragnarok and Thor Love and Thunder." Like, that's kind of how because the character that she's playing, it's not being played like the character from the comics in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't look any way, shape, or form like the character from the comics. So your mind just can't even see it as the same thing. It's silly. What else did I have written here before I go back? The press was all about her race and gender. Yeah, pointed out she's like the third or fourth female director, non-white director. Do they really love this stuff? There are people who it would really mean something to get this job specifically. Is that you? Who wants to write the Muppets, etc.? Yeah, you know, I mean, like, that's really the biggest thing to me. Like, there are people who it would really mean something to get this job. You know, and I'm a big Star Trek fan. I remember digging into some of the special features on Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, a couple things. And you found out about certain writers who were writing certain episodes and what big fans they were and how meaningful it was for them to work on this thing. And, you know, and these aren't people necessarily see working all these places, but they wrote incredible, incredible Star Trek stories. They were just like built for it, just making awesome stuff. You know, I'm built to write the Muppets. I also built myself to write, you know, Marvel and DC comics. But, you know, like I made myself into that person so I could get work. But the Muppets is very natural for me. Like I just love Jim, and he's my idol, and I want to give back to him. I know he's dead, but like, I could give back to him maybe by, it's making me want to cry, by showing, reminding people how great his creations really were. I don't think they had a long enough run, and I think that they should still be out there helping people. And I don't think these modern incarnations of the Muppets are helping people at all. You know, the Electric Mayhem show that they just did, it's funny. But it's just all about them being rock stars. They're successes now. They know everybody. They're celebrities. When they were struggling, that's what made us care. And that's what made them cathartic and useful as artistic entries into our minds. You know, Deadpool has a similar aesthetic. You know, he's a fuck up the way the Muppets are. You know, he wants something really bad. He wants to be a better person than he was yesterday, but he just keeps fucking it up. Fozzie wants to be funny, but he keeps fucking it up. Kermit wants to run a variety show, but his friends keep fucking it up. He keeps fucking it up because he keeps fucking hiring his friends. But because he's a sweet guy and he's a lover and he's community oriented and he's growing with them. And it's slow growing with the community when you're not pushing down everybody's head and maximizing yourself like Miss Piggy would do. And you don't want to see her succeed. And they made her succeed. And the Electric Mayhem have succeeded. They're all famous. And that's why this stuff doesn't work. You know, and I'm somebody who would love to have that job to help. I know I could steward some things that would make everybody so happy. And, you know, we'd be so happy to introduce to our children and you know, and the mainstream would love it too, because it'd be right. It'd be the thing that we want. You know, fans have good taste. You know, there's a burgeoning pit. You know, it's like there'll be some fans of this and fans of that or whatever else, and people, certain people are drawn to certain things and like certain bits, but you know, there's a general consensus among the fans, and things get chosen. You know, Batman the Killing Joke, The Dark Knight Returns, Watchmen. Things over time are sculpted into, this is a classic beyond reproach. Spider-Man, Kraven's Last Hunt. You know, there are things that become known because so many people share them around. Oh, you got to read this. You got to read JLA by Grant Morrison, and keep reading into Mark Waid's run because it's wonderful. You know, yeah. That's how it goes. And like, the consensus of that within books of like what's great and like who is wonderful. It's just so wonderful how that forms. And to not harness that, of the consensus of what everybody's most hyped and psyched about and where people's interests are, and not feed that and try to tap into that as best you can and listen to it as best you can and adjust as best you can when you have access to something like that. I just think it's just such folly on the parts of all of these companies. It's so stupid. So I want to go back and I want to talk about Superman. You know, and the importance of using your mind to search for a better way. Because that's really the thing that Superman teaches us. The disappointment of Superman as a character when he doesn't find a better way, when he takes the low road and he just snaps somebody's neck like he did in Man of Steel. I felt like Hogarth from The Iron Giant when I was watching that movie. I was like, say it ain't so, Superman. Just like Superman killed? Like, no, like what the fuck? And I know that this was like their edgy thing or whatever, but like he's supposed to really represent something. And in the comics, the comics that are done the best, and I think I've recommended this book before, Joe Kelly's What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, The American Way, or Whatever Happened. Yeah, I think it's What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, American Way. Yeah, I think that's it. It's like a one-shot action comic story by him and Doug Mank. It's fucking incredible. Superman fights the elite characters. They are basically like the authority or the boys, like they're people who don't mind killing. Not the boys. The boys are dealing with Highlander and those fucks. But like the people who don't mind killing, and they're like, you know, they'll really go right to the edge. Punisher kind of type characters. And which was very popular at that time. And this story was all like sort of a rebuke of that ultimately. But at the end of it, they make Superman so mad. They hurt him, and they really like, they hurt him. They upset him and they cause him pain and piss him off so bad that you think, oh fuck, like, is this story going to be him ultimately killing them? And then you see him kill them, or at least you think so. And as it turns out, he literally was just like tricking them. But again, it was him finding a better way. And the best Superman stories are about him finding a better way. Always finding a better way. And like, you know, there'll be one way to do it kind of thing presented. And then it's like, there's got to be a better way. And I mean, that as a beat in a Superman story is so classic, because that's what Superman is all about. He's about, wait, let's think about it a little bit more. Is there a better way? And check this out, guys. If we go back in time, and, you know, I'm not so sure about the whole freaking caveman thing. You know, I mean, I start to be a pretty firm believer in some of these ancient alien speculations based on all of the relics lying around planet Earth. But whether you say caveman or early man or whatever the fuck it is, okay. At first, they were walking. Then they were in a four-wheeled vehicle, pushing or pulling by animals. Then there's a motorcycle and a car. These are ideas that weren't available yesterday. But all they ultimately required, and I know I picked one that was like boom, 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 really big, big things. But there's so many. If we just think a little bit better, there's a better way to approach this. come on down to, hey, do we want to go to war? Or how about let's try to approach things with diplomacy, or let's try to approach things with any other freaking way. We know what that way leads to. It leads to not the things that we would prefer. Let's see if there's a better way. You know, there's a really wonderful example of this as like a functioning paradigm that I just love. I'm so fascinated by this. And there's some great YouTube channels dedicated to it if you ever find yourself interested. But speed running is what you call it when you're basically racing through a game. You're timing yourself, seeing how quickly you can do something. There are various speed runs that clock in at various times. You know, a lot of these games, they'll actually, you know, be timing your progress and whatnot. So people share their various screens and their games, and they film their games, you know, now that we have like the digital era. And a lot of things have really progressed over time with this stuff. But if you go on to a history of speed running for a given game, you know, like let's say Donkey Kong, or actually one of the best ones is Super Mario 64. That's a good example. So the history of Super Mario 64 is basically people beating the game as fast as they could before the internet. People on the internet being, and like, you know, basically posting their results or sending videos to magazines back in the day and, you know, getting credit for these things the same way Steve Wiebe was trying to do when he was fighting in The King of Kong. If you've ever seen that documentary, if you've ever fucking seen the documentary, The King of Kong, homework, rent The King of Kong, one of the greatest documentaries you will ever watch. It's kind of like Rocky for nerds. It's, and I love Rocky too, but it's really, really awesome. Watch The King of Kong. You know, there used to be magazines and scoreboards and these things, and people were keeping up on this stuff. But thanks to the advent of the internet, it's been a lot easier. At a certain point during the history of the speed running, there were a number of glitches that were discovered that enabled you to beat the game faster than people had beat it before. Beat the game without having to beat the first, the second, and the third level by going through a wall that has a glitch in it up to level 4, 5, and 6. Things like that. Go straight into the castle without having to do any of the things that normally you would have to do. And now you've cut a lot of time off of, you know, your speed run. So these things, they produce a constantly changing paradigm, and all of the changes come from people figuring out how to play a little differently. There's an additional star, apparently, in like one of the games, I think, that you can get. You know, it's hidden in a level that is like there in the data, and you have to get to it. Certain, like, you know, people have like hacked these games and been able to change the paradigm and therefore beat the previous time. So you can always outthink the game. You would think that the perfect game is the perfect game, and you race through Mario and the fastest time is the fastest time, and somebody got the fastest time at some point, but then somebody moved through a wall and then it was a new race for the fastest time. So what does that say? It says that Superman is right. It says that Captain America is right. There's always a better way. There's always a fucking better way, director of the Marvels. There's always a better way, Marvel Studios. There's always a better way. Please, please, let us not lose sight of that ever, ever again. Anyway, that's it, my coolest geeks. I am your passionate geek culture commentator, as always, or an enthusiastic participator in life, Jesse Blaze Snyder, the coolest geek alive, but you too are the coolest geeks alive. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Again, you can write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. I love you all so much. I really look forward to hearing from you, and I really appreciate when I do hear from you guys. And thank you to people who get me with technical things and other stuff. I really just like this. All of the correspondence has just been great, and I welcome it. And I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening. It's really cool to know that I'm a part of somebody's life the way some of these YouTubers and podcasters are a part of my life, when I am doing my thing and listening to stuff in the background. And I know I really appreciate those people, and I like having somebody to kind of commiserate with and talk about this stuff with. So I love being that for other people, and it's a very rewarding experience. It's been a very rewarding experience. You've been a very rewarding audience, and I'm so grateful. And actually, before I go, I'll say that I am working on my new show. I'm working on a show called All Your Favorite Bands Suck. It's a music-driven show where basically I'm going to be featuring all my favorite bands, essentially, bands that I don't think get enough credit as being just as fucking incredible as I think they are. So I'm going to be doing a band at a time, and, you know, I've got like my first like 60 episodes planned out for me, which is like all these bands that I love and that I think really have something to offer. And if you're a music person, you might be into that. And then I'm also getting ready to launch, it'll start off on Fund My Comics for the first 30 days, the campaign for a book that I'm doing called Fucking for Our Future with my buddy Dizzy Arnold. It's really funny. It's this comedy, alien sex comedy that's kind of based on the Roadrunner cartoons with a woman in a power armor suit trying to get sperm samples from a Bigfoot kind of man with a third leg penis. Penis that's like a third leg. It's really just this hysterical book about kind of the war of the sexes, you know, in a really great way. I think it's got something for everybody. I just can't wait to share it. The preview is going to be up on the Fund My Comics website probably by next week. I got stopped. I had to censor a whole bunch of things. I don't know if I'm going to post it as Fighting for Our Future. I think it's probably going to be, I'm not sure. I might post it as Fighting for Our Future, and because like if I post it as Fucking for Our Future, I think I have to censor it to number signs and percentage signs and shit, and then like it's not searchable. So I don't know exactly what to do. I might call it Fighting for Our Future, but keep your eye on it out for it if you are on the Fund My Comics, and it's going to be coming to Kickstarter in another like, you know, 60 days or something like that. Anyway, I'm really super excited about that. Super excited to share that with you all. It's just, it came out so great. And for those of you who participated in my previous Kickstarter for King of Kings, number one, oh, that's coming out so great. I just got like my printer finally set because I was having trouble finding the metal, the guy who was printing on the metal for the metal covers. But I finally found a printer. So I got that all set, and I'm about to like get like a deal memo, I think today. I'm waiting for it. And I got a t-shirt printer too. So everything's getting all worked out for me right now as we speak. And that's all the stuff that I need to get that done. And even better than that, the colors for issue 2 of King of Kings is about to get started, I don't know, probably by the end of this month. So I'm really excited. Andrew Dahlhaus coming back for issue number 2. Stoked about that. Stoked to be able to pay him and get all this stuff made. And I really, really, really excited. And actually, if you missed the King of Kings campaign, I do have some slight overages that will be available in like a month from like the printing things. Once I get everything out to everybody else, everybody has to, you know, pay the same things as the other people. It's real limited. I got to keep it all to that. I really don't have a lot of overages. So if you'd wanted, it would be all the same, you know, prices that other people paid on their, you know, on their pledge in the campaigns. But you can reach out to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com if you want to get in on that. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here doing this. Here I am. I think I'm like a half a year in, or maybe a little bit more. Maybe I've crossed that barrier of doing my show. I don't know how many episodes all told I've done with like my bonus Saturday episodes, because it's definitely like getting up there. I'm well over 50 or something like that, or 60, but it's just so cool building an audience and building in the conversation. I feel more and more comfortable every day, you know, talking with you guys, like, because I feel like I've been able to kind of say my piece long enough that if anybody ever was to like go after me for some stupid little thing I said or whatever, that I think I have enough people at this point that would defend me and defend my honor, and that, you know, my heart's always in the right place. And, you know, I don't have a bad thing to say about anybody. I just want all the stuff to be better. And I think we deserve it. I think we deserve better stuff. Do we not? Do we not, my fellow geeks? Do we not deserve better things? Yes, I say we do. I say we fucking deserve better. Anyway, I hope you will join me this Saturday and again next Wednesday for another fucking ass-kicking episode of The Coolest Geek Alive! Rock and roll. It's my favorite part!
It's gonna be fucking awesome. Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spelling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout.
You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living your shit.
My voice is gonna be fucking awesome.
Food in our mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Get in the mouth.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Tell all your friends.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Call right on text.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.